Carol, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
I have.
Then upon your profession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to assemble the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the province to attend the dedication of the statue the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the province assembled for the dedication of the statue the king had set up. Then they stood before the statue Nebuchadnezzar had set up. A herald loudly proclaimed, "People of every nation and language, you are commanded. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But whosoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire." Therefore, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and every kind of music, people of every nation and language fell down and worshipped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up.
Every time we praise you, all the world seems we enter in. For here we hear the voices of a
hallelujah to you.
Christian living in a non-Christian world. And we'd like to think that America is a Christian nation. It certainly was founded on Christian principles. I believe most of our founders were professing Christians and sincere professing Christians. To be honest, I think we would all agree that we are not in really a Christian country. We pray that it will be. We pray that we might be, once again, one nation under God. But we have many disturbing things happening in our nation. We have people who are being put in jail for expression of their faith. I think it's only a matter of time. I hate to think that it might be, but I think before we lose some of our cherished freedoms, if we're not vigilant. Now, I believe we can be vigilant, and we can turn the tide. But I think we do so by doing what Daniel's three friends did here in Daniel chapter 3. Now, we didn't read the entire chapter, so you'll want to kind of read along and kind of fill in the gaps and as we go along here. But I want to share with you another message on how to live Christianly in a non-Christian world. Last week we looked at some instruction that Daniel gave us about living Christianly. And this morning I want to continue to share what I believe are three more teachers, if you will. Now these are not teachers in the sense of persons, you'll understand that, but in the sense of instructions that God gives us in His Word about how to live Christianly in a non-Christian world. If you'll look there at Daniel chapter 3. You'll read about these three friends of Daniel's, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I remember when I was just a small child and heard these Bible stories, I thought it was Abednego. And so we said, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We just thought, you know, that's what the name was. We never heard that name before. But these were the three friends of Daniel, of course. Now, Daniel's not here. Daniel is here, obviously, but he's not one of the three who refused. Now, I think he did refuse, knowing Daniel. But apparently the refusal of the three friends was more obvious. They stood as one in refusing this edict of King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, just to refresh our memory, he made this image, it says, of gold 90 feet high. Now, 90 feet high, that's pretty high. That's, nine-story building, you know, like downtown Alturas. No, not really. I think we have three stories maybe there. But, you know, add two more like that. That would give you an idea how high that image was. Could be seen, I'm sure, for miles around. And it says that he summoned all the various governmental officials. They came to the dedication. Now, you can imagine what kind of dedication this was. This was the greatest nation on earth at that time. I think the greatest nation ever. Perhaps the greatest empire ever on this earth. Daniel, in this book, said that of Nebuchadnezzar, you are that head of gold. So this was the empire of empires. And here this great king set up an image. Now, we can only imagine what the image was, but I think it was probably Nebuchadnezzar himself. You know, he had a little vanity problem, we would say. You know, when he looked in the mirror, he probably kissed it. Because I think you get in that position, as we all have been, well, you got to have a big head. No, I've never been in that position. I'm sure you haven't either. I think it was Nebuchadnezzar. And I think that there was something in his ego that flattered him about this image and about people coming to worship him. This wasn't unique to Nebuchadnezzar, of course. The Roman emperors demanded worship. So this was normal. We would say very abnormal because we're Americans. We don't worship the president. And we would show respect, but we would not bow down as people in some other nations would be to their head of state. But in this country, And at that time, not to do so, not to bow down to this image, was disrespect to the point of death. And so there was a fear, refused here, if you will. I think there was a fear of others. I think there were those who said, well, you know, I have no choice. This is the law of the land. I've got to obey it. And I'm not going to risk my life and the life of my loved ones to disobey that command. I think that time may come in America. I think that time is here. I think that time is here because there are laws that are being passed right now, being considered at least, that would impinge upon our freedom to express our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to pray for our legislators, our congressmen, senators, but our local governmental officials as well. We also need to let them know what we believe. Here were three men who are not ashamed to stand up for God in a godless world. So there was an object, that was the object of that fear. Here it may have been the image of Nebuchadnezzar himself, this 90-foot-high image that was set up on the plain. To early Christians, it was the emperor's seal. And today it may be subtler objects, but I think it could be like we have here. I think there are people who would want to make us bow down to, for example, tolerance. We have to be tolerant. We want to be liberal in the good sense. We want to be broad-minded. These were not broad-minded men. These were not liberal men. These were not men who said, well, you know, let's just go along. We don't want to offend anyone. No, they stood up for God. Even though others, I'm sure, even of their own countrymen, even of those who believed in the God of Israel as they did, were bowing down. I think that's the real test of faith, isn't it? If our faith is real, we're going to be like Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're going to stand up against the unjust laws, against the spirit of our age. That's what they did. There was an objective. The devil wants to silence God's children and make them cower in fear. You may recall the disciples after the resurrection were pretty fearful. In fact, they locked themselves up in a room and they didn't go out, apparently. I think it took the coming of the Holy Spirit that we read about in Acts chapter 2 to transform them. And that's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit's power in us, don't we? We need to ask Him to fill us, to embolden us, to help us to be His witnesses. That's what made the difference in their life. There was an overturning. God will deliver us. But even if He doesn't, they said, we will not worship that image. I think that's found in verse 18. Verse 16, they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the burning, blazing furnace, the God we serve is able. Isn't that a wonderful verse there? Our God is able to save us from it, and He will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if He does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So there was a victory, wasn't there? A victory of their faith. So there was a fear refused in that living Christianly in a non-Christian world. There was also a faith revealed. Look with me at verses 8 and following. Well, we're going back here in the chapter, but it tells about how these accusers came. Astrologers, it says here in my translation, came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O King, live forever. You have issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the music. So they had a band there. I think it was like our military band, a little different. But it was the purpose of it, of course, was to be a signal for people to bow down and worship. So there was an accusation, an accusation against those who are only doing what God wanted them to do. If you have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to come a time that there's going to come an accusation like this. If you will stand up for Jesus, it'll come. Because the devil is the same. Jesus Christ, we know, is the same yesterday and today and forever, but it seems like the devil is, maybe not yesterday. There was a time that he was created good, but he rebelled. And he's the same old devil. He's the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says. So we can be sure that there's going to come a time that our faith is going to be tested if we will stand up for God and for righteousness, as it was the three friends of Daniel. There was an accusation. There was also an advancement of faith. James said that faith without works is dead. Now, I suppose Daniel's three friends could have said, well, you know, we believe in our heart. That's all that's important. Why, what harm is done by just going along with this law, this edict? We don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to be different. But doesn't the Bible say we're peculiar people, or that we should be? Now, some of us are more peculiar than others. But it doesn't mean peculiar in that sense, of course. It means that we are set apart by God to be different. And we can't be different if we're going to be the same. So we have to make a choice, like the three friends of Daniel did here. They made a choice, and it led to the advancement of their faith. They did something. They stood up. I think it's time the Christian stand up and be counted, don't you? I think it's time in our nation that we need to stand up for righteousness and not give in to this idea that, well, you know, we're a pluralistic nation. We become different. And there are those who would even rewrite the history of our nation and say that we were never that, you know, godly nation that we've set up as an ideal. But I say to that, it's a good Bible word for that, hogwash. That's not true. If you'll take the time to study our history, these were godly men who founded our nation. And they founded it with the purpose of having a nation, one nation under God. What we need are more people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who will stand up for their faith as they did. There was an advancement of their faith. There was also an answer of their faith. And we read it in verses 16 and following. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar. See, they were respectful. King, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing fiery furnace, the God we serve is able. I just read this a moment ago, but I think we should read it again. The God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Well, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus said something very similar to his disciples. And I want to read to you what he said to his disciples. He said, And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. You see, this wasn't a planned speech that they made. It came from the heart. Because Jesus said, Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, we need to have our hearts right with God, don't we? And when we do, when that time comes, God is going to give us the words to speak. Jesus said, For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And then 1 Peter 3:15 says, Sanctify, and that means to set apart as holy, the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason of the hope that you have within you. And do so with meekness and fear. So there was an answer here in that faith revealed. So there was a fear refused here. There was a faith revealed. Thirdly, there was a fire repelled. Look with me at verses 19 and following. It says that Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And his attitude toward them changed. Now, he seemed to like them before. Why the change? Well, because they didn't like the image. They didn't like having to bow down before that image. And if that image was Nebuchadnezzar, it was like spitting in his face. Or at least to him it was. And so his attitude toward them, it says, changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. I don't know how you can get fire hotter. Fire's pretty hot. And I don't know what difference it would make. Maybe make less suffering for them. Maybe make the death more sure. But anyway, he did so. I think because he was so mad. And it says he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the fiery, blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. And the king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Now in that land, of course, they made brick. So I don't know whether it was like a brick kiln. But they knew what furnaces were. They knew how to build some pretty good furnaces. So this was a furnace that was designed, obviously, to take their life. It wasn't just to, you know, make them, you know, a little singed. So they threw them in, thinking, well, you know, it killed the ones who threw them in. Surely they stood no chance. Then we read that King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. And he said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods. You know who I believe that was? I believe it was Jesus, right? Because in Revelation chapter 1, doesn't it describe Jesus as his feet like burnished bronze that was burned in a fire? Like it was heated up, almost white hot. See, it was Jesus that was in that fire with these three men. But there was severity to that fire. The fire was even hotter. I suppose that the devil wanted still to make them even more fearful. To make them even realize, well, this has to be the end, and we've come to that end. So there was a severity to that fire. The Bible talks about the fiery trial, which is to try us. Why did God allow this to happen? I think for his glory. And I think because he knew that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego wouldn't die. Now maybe in some cases I know God has allowed people to die for their faith. And there are those dying for their faith yet today. I read recently about a German missionary to Turkey who was horribly tortured for his faith and died. And that was just recently. And I know In Africa and in other places, Christians are routinely tortured for their faith, and they die. But didn't Jesus say, we are to fear rather the one who is able to kill the soul? He said, fear not those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So there was a severity. There was also a surrender. Daniel's three friends surrendered to the flame. And I read in the book of Hebrews how some were tortured, not accepting release, that they might gain a better resurrection. I don't like pain. I'm sure you don't like pain. But are we willing to surrender ourselves to a loving God? And to say like them, whether God delivers us or not, I'm going to do His will. I'm going to glorify Him in my life. I'm going to do what's right and what He would have me to do. I'm going to be a witness for Him in this non-Christian world. How are people going to know God unless we stand up? I'm talking about the true God, not just, you know, God in the abstract. A lot of people talk about God, but I'm talking about the God of Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we willing to do as they did, to surrender? And then there is a Savior in that fire repelled. I spoke about how it describes this fourth one like a son of the gods, really like the Son of God, I think the translation should be. His voice, we're told in the Revelation 1:15, it says that Jesus' feet were like unto brass, fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and His voice as the sound of many waters. And in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. I believe that time is going to come. If it hasn't come in your life already, where your faith is going to be tested by fire. And the reason for it is to discover what kind of faith it is. And maybe what you thought was faith was not really faith. Maybe you've never come to the point in your life where you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and you've committed your life to Him and you have trusted your all to Him.
Yeah.